Blog Talk Radio.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today, sporting backpacks and they're on their way, yo. Trying to learn the things we like, going to my class, everything's alright, oh. No one as smart as you, no one as cool as you. No, whatever grade level or type of school, my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together, I'm shaping students that'll shape forever. The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools, and you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse, so I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse. Singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, so open up the minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I run my class like I know I should, I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood. I thought you understood, I'm the difference in my class for the greater good, yeah. Getting my class to spread the wind, being at school makes me wanna sing, oh. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together. Teachers, we can make it better. Change the world. It feels like it's been cold forever. I think it's time we change the weather. We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future, and the future's gaining speed. If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed. And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need. I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is on time, gotta open up their eyes. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Teacher, I'm a teacher, yeah, yeah. You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses.
And we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. Oh, class is online, gonna open up the mind. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher, let me see the way you shine.
Welcome to Season 3 of Teacher Talks. This is Episode 2. Thank you for listening in. I am your host, Stacey McClam, live on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international brand created by Beverly Black. This season is sponsored by School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching by Stacey McClam, available on Amazon. I am in Los Angeles and am mourning the loss of Kobe Bryant and the other victims who died yesterday, so I just wanted to say that I am praying for all of the families of the victims. I am an educator, author, and filmmaker. I have 10 years of elementary teaching experience. I've taught first grade through fourth grade, but mostly first grade. I've taught in Washington, D.C., Denver, Los Angeles County, and also abroad in Japan and Kuwait. Last year, I resigned from the teaching profession and wrote a book entitled School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, where I describe why I left the teaching profession. The book raises awareness about the trauma that students and teachers experience at school. In between my teaching career, I went to law school to bridge education and the law for education reform reasons. However, after graduating, I noticed that it took too long to change policy and return to the classroom. I have a great respect for teachers and the teaching profession. Currently, I am a substitute teacher as I transition from teacher to filmmaker. I have written 3 short films and directed 2 of them. I am currently in development for another film. My goal is to create films about education issues. I feel that I can better serve students outside of the classroom by exposing people to the realities that occur inside the classroom through film. Now, today's guest is Mr. Marston Riley. He is a retired music teacher. And before I welcome our guest, let me provide some information about him. Mr. Riley taught music at the high school level for almost 30 years. He grew up as the last child of 5 in Compton, California. He grew up in a very busy neighborhood during very trying times. During that time, he said that each child was raised by their neighborhood under close watch by their parents and their friends' parents. Mr. Riley said that parents invested a lot in their kids and encouraged them to excel in their goals for those who were directed that way. Now Mr. Riley realizes that he had it good despite the area he grew up in. Though in a rough neighborhood, he didn't know it was considered tough because things that happened around him, for example, constant fights, thefts, and gangs happened all the time. He thought it was a normal life. When it was time to graduate, his dad wanted him to go to college and told him no one in the family had a degree. Mr. Riley told his dad that he would earn a degree and graduated with a degree in music composition. Currently, Mr. Riley produces, orchestrates, writes, and arranges music for bands, clients, and for himself. Welcome, Mr. Riley. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Good. Thanks so much for being a guest on the show. And I know your wife is on the line also, so I want to acknowledge her and welcome her to the show as well. Thank you for being a guest. Today's topic is teacher abuse. So, Mr. Riley, I'm going to give you the mic and let you start where you want with the conversation.
Okay. Recently I was in an incident where I was assaulted by a student. And making the story short, the assault resulted in me being arrested. And from that, it was publicized quite a bit. But during that time, I was waiting for my trial. I was contacted by many teachers around the country and overseas also. And they were telling me their experiences about being assaulted and abused by students. And it was surprising that, you know, these things are going on daily in the United States. Teachers mm-hmm. are being assaulted, physically assaulted. They're being abused mentally. And a lot of teachers are just walking away from it. The school mm-hmm. districts are losing good teachers because of the assaults that's being done to them. And basically, the school districts are not really doing anything. Basically, I was arrested for defending myself. And basically, they did not do anything to the student but tell him he can come back to school the next day. All he has to do is bring his parents. But I was put in jail. And also, just getting the letters from the teachers from around the country telling me what they had gone through and how the school district did absolutely nothing and how they were victims of things that was going on, it really was upsetting to me. And so with my incident, because it was so publicized, we came to the conclusion that we need to be an advocate for teachers, speaking up for them and letting mm-hmm. everybody know this is not right. And it can be prevented. Just recently, about a couple of weeks ago, I was contacted by a teacher's aide. He was assaulted by a student with a knife, and this is college, not high school, not elementary, but this is college. This student, and of course, he was a troublemaker, but the student came to his class. He was helping his teacher teach the class, and he took over the class. And a student came, and he was just causing problems all week. And then finally, on the last day of him working with that class, this student attacked him. In other words, he was leaving the classroom. This student would not let him out of the classroom. So he took this student, pushed him against the wall, and told him, you know, don't do that. The guy pulled a knife on him. So, of course, he had to defend himself. Now, again, this is college. So this is how bad it's getting. It's moving from the elementary school to the junior high schools to the high schools to college because they're getting away with it. Anyway, they went to the dean's office, and they did absolutely nothing to the student. And about a week later, the police came and arrested the assistant. The student had put a charge against him. And they arrested him. Now he has to go to court to defend himself. And the student is saying that he assaulted him. He's out of $15,000 to start with because of this student. Now, anyway, he was asking me for advice, and I basically asked him exactly what went on. He told me everything. He had witnesses. And some people that had seen the incident afterwards, but the students that knew that the guy was coming in causing problems during the week. And basically I told him, go to court. In other words, fight it. Don't give in to nothing. Don't give in to anything. Fight the case because you're going to win. That guy does not want them to know what he was doing. So that's one example of what's going on with teachers now. It's moving up to the college level. Okay.
And so, it is very upsetting, as you mentioned. Go ahead. I think I cut you off.
Yeah. So these things have to be addressed for the teachers, and we're going to address them, and we're going to speak up, and we're going to make sure that everybody knows these assaults that are going on, they can be stopped. Number one, it's going to start with the parents. Number two, it's going to start with the school districts at the high school level. They have to put their foot down and just tell them, stop assaulting my teachers, and give them an ultimatum. That's what has to happen.
Now, I have a lot of questions from what you just said. First, though, I want to tell the listeners that someone started a GoFundMe page for you, and I want the listeners to know that it raised $191,795. So that's almost $192,000 of support from the community. And so I think that speaks a lot to people, you know, understanding the problems that we face and the support that you got, because even on the news, there were a lot of students who, you know, supported you and other teachers. And so it definitely is a problem. And I just want to throw out some statistics to help people understand how, you know, big of a situation this is. So in March 2018, the Social Psychology of Education Journal sampled more than 3,400 K through 12 teachers, and more than 2,500 respondents said they had endured violence or abuse as teachers. And then the American Psychological Association has a task force specifically on violence against educators. And even though this was a 2010 survey, but at that time, 80% of teachers reported experiencing some verbal or physical aggression that year. So since that was 2010, you know, the numbers may be even higher now. And then even recently, last November, Dr. Mike Robinson of Forest of the Rain Productions on Facebook just did a survey with his followers on violence against teachers, and 62% of those teachers stated that they had been physically attacked or assaulted by a student. So I guess I'm wondering, the union is not any help, I guess, obviously, for many teachers that are suffering from this issue.
Well, I didn't get any help from the union at all. Things that went, my situation went pretty fast. And a lot of times when you're dealing with child abuse, unions and a lot of other people really, it's hands off. They it's like you have the plague. When I, the day that I had my incident, it was like the principal and the assistant principal at that school just took their hands totally off me. They didn't want to touch me. I guess they felt that I would ruin their career or something like that. But they wouldn't let, even when I had to go back the next day, they didn't even want to let me back in the school to get my car. My car was in the parking lot. They didn't want to do that. So I can imagine the unions, when they hear something like that and they see, especially the how widely public it went, they didn't have all the facts, but all they know is I hit a student. So,
right, and that's
yeah.
– I'm
go
sorry,
ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go
well,
ahead.
And so basically that was hands-off for them, and as far as they were concerned, I was going to fry, I'm going to get sued, I'm going to lose my job. You're done. That's the way they saw it.
And that's unfortunate because I know the media only showed, you know, a specific part of the clip, but in listening to your 8-minute video on the GoFundMe page after the case was dismissed, you spoke about the entire incident that day, and you stated that that media clip that they show is the second time the student returned, which was a good 13 to 15 minutes after the incident started, correct?
Yeah, around there, yes.
Like it, mm-hmm. Yeah, so it so people did not get a full context of the situation and how it escalated. And, you know, even things that you spoke about in the video, such as when you tried to use the phone, the class, well, you didn't try to use the classroom phone because the classroom phone didn't work. So you had to use your cell phone. And then when you were looking, the security guard, you know, twice couldn't find the student. And so the second time you're trying to find the student's picture on the computer to show the security guard, and the picture was not in the system, nor was the student's records. So those are administrative type issues, and you know, just of the many issues that of ways that this could have been prevented, certain things like that are inexcusable. And so I'm
right.
wondering, just more about, I guess what. Well, one, a little more about your situation and what can teachers do? Because there is no procedure for this if administration is not helping, and you had previously had an incident with some other students, and for this to happen again, it's like, well, what is the teacher left to do?
Well, first of all, on that second incident that everyone saw, which I explained to the detective when I was in jail, about 3 weeks or 4 weeks before that incident had happened, I had written a letter to the principal, the dean, the assistant principals, and the counselors about that class and what was happening. And I told them, I said, you need to take out at least 3 students. If you can't take out 3 students, just take out 1. Those are the ones that are causing the problems. What happened was the class was a good class. But when they brought in these 3 and 4 students, all of a sudden the class just turned over. It just turned negative. And these kids were causing so much problems. And so what I did was I wrote a letter and told them, I said, look, at least take one of these students out of the class, because I'm going to, you know, I'm losing it. I'm getting very upset, and I'm not getting as much done as I want to. The rest of my classes were perfect. I had no problems. And, you know, basically I had a good rapport with all the students, a very good rapport. So I actually enjoy working with at the school, but it was just that one class with these students. And so when I wrote the letter to them, basically I never got an answer back. And that was for about 3 weeks. I never got an answer back. I even went in and talked with one of the counselors and told the counselors, look, at least take out this person or take out this person. That counselor says, okay, we'll look into it. Never heard from them again. So, and then All of a sudden, this incident happens about 3 or 4 weeks later. Okay, so what I was telling the detective, I said, I wrote a letter to him, and it's in my computer at work.
Mm.
Okay, so it was about maybe about a week and a half later, they allowed me to go back into the class, supervised, to get my belongings. But I didn't get my letter. When I came home that day from the jail, I went directly to my email at the school before they had closed it out. And I looked for that letter that I had CC'd to everybody. That letter was gone.
Oh, wow.
Marty, I think this is Tanya, his wife. I think he needs to share because, you know, of course, you saw the video that was on the GoFundMe page where he explained everything that happened. But your listeners, you know, they may not know what happened. And so he's talking about these three students that he had problems with. But I think he needs to share the fact that these were the ones that instigated the incident and just share that so the audience knows, you know, what he's talking about, because they probably haven't seen the video on the GoFundMe page or on his Facebook page. So I think he needs to give some background on these three or four students he was referring to and how they were involved in the incident that happened.
Yes, definitely.
What happened with the story. Just why don't you tell the story of what happened.
From the beginning.
And how they were involved.
Okay, so for those of you who haven't seen the video, this all started with me doing a uniform check in my classroom. I did the uniform checks randomly. So that day I decided to do a uniform check. So basically all they have to do is show me that they have their uniform shirt on, whether they had a sweater or anything like that. They just show me that they have their uniform on. Okay, so I went around the class. When I got to this particular student, I asked him, show me your uniform. And basically he said, I'm not giving you, and he uses explicit words and so on. And then basically I told him, I'm not asking for your phone, because that's what I figured he thought I was asking for. And anyway, he started calling me all kinds of names and, of course, racial slurs and just disrespectful words. So at that time, and all this was before the cameras started rolling, so this is what you guys did not see. He called me all the names, and basically I didn't say anything. He was sitting down, and I was standing up over him. And while he was calling me all these names, I just looked at him, didn't say a word. I said absolutely nothing. So after he got finished calling me the names, all I did was turned and walked away. Okay, so when I walked away, I went over, got my phone, and called security. So when he saw that I was calling security, he got up and left. Meanwhile, when he left, three other students left a little bit after he did. Security came.
And those were the students that you wrote the letter about.
Yeah,
right?
Those three students that yeah, that left, they were the ones that set the whole thing up. They told him that I was calling him names and saying that I was going to kick his butt after he had left. So they told him that and got him excited. And so anyway, the security guard came in for the first time, and I told her what happened, and she said, okay, I'll go find him. So she left, and so I continued to teach my class. About 5 minutes later, she comes back into the classroom and says she couldn't find the student. And I told her, okay, let's go over to the computer and I'll show you a picture of him. And so we went over to the computer and we didn't have a picture of him, didn't have any records on him at all. So the security guard said, okay, I'll go look for him. So after she left, about 5 minutes later, that's when the student came back in, and he was saying things like, I heard you said you want to kick my butt and all this other stuff. And basically, I told him I didn't say that. So I told him about three times I didn't say that. You know, I wouldn't say anything like that, but that's what he says. So he started calling me names, my N, and well, my friend said, you said that. You effed me up. So come at me. He was telling me to come at me, want to fight and all this stuff. And I didn't say anything. I just listened to him. And only thing I did was just told him I didn't say that. And just like I'm telling you now, I just said I didn't raise my voice. I didn't do anything. I just said I didn't say that. Okay, so seems like the less I did, the worse he got. You know, so basically he wasn't back down. He was continually getting in my face. And then finally he hits me with the basketball, assaults me with the basketball, and that's when my patience began to grow thin. So I said, okay, to myself, let me call security one more time. So by that time I was upset and I was shaking. And so I went and got my phone and start trying to dial security, but I was shaking so much. I was so upset I couldn't dial, so I just went back. And I told him, I said, well, you need to leave. So, and I told him that a few times, and each time I told him that, he was rang up a little bit more, so I warned him one more time. And I told him, you need to leave. So he didn't, so I hit him. And basically just to get him to jump back. But, you know, instead, he wanted to fight. Instead of jumping back after I hit him, he wanted to fight. So he started swinging on me. I guess he thought that I wasn't going to swing back. And after that, so I said, okay, this is what you want to do. So that's when the altercation started. And then, anyway, what I forgot to tell you is when he came back the second time, his three friends were behind him, smiling and grinning, and they already had their cameras out or their phones out filming as soon as he walked in. So it was a setup. It was definitely a setup. And we went around the classroom, as you guys saw. Basically, at one point, he grabbed my legs trying to take me down, and that agitated me. The reason why that agitated me is because about 2 years ago, I was jumped by three students. And basically with these three students, all I did was just ask them to go back to their class. That's all I did. Anyway, one confronted me from the front. Somebody grabbed me from behind by my neck, and then one person grabbed my legs and they took me down. Okay, so we all know what happened after that. Basically, with God's will, you know, after I came up, I was untouched. After all the things, because they were kicking me, hitting me, calling me racial slurs, but I was untouched, and that's because of God.
This was on the school campus?
Right in front of my classroom, in the same classroom. These students, one of them, and like I said, I got up, of course I defended myself, and then what they asked me is, how come I hit the student after I got up? How come I was fighting back after I got up? That's what they were saying to me instead of talking about the students.
Right.
But anyway,
that
first instance when I was jumped by students, I was sent home. I wasn't taken to jail. I was sent home. And the reason why I came back is because the students protested at that time and told them if they don't bring me back to the classroom, they're going to walk out again. So that's how I came back to the class 2 years before this incident that everybody saw. Okay, so back to the incident that everybody saw on video. Okay, when the guy grabbed my legs, that's when I began to think about that incident 2 years ago when someone grabbed my legs and took me down. So basically I said, not again. This ain't going to happen this time. I'm not going down this time. So that's when I got a little bit more agitated when he grabbed my legs and you saw me swinging a little bit more with a little bit more vigor, I'll say. Eventually he let go. And the incident was over. And that's basically what happened for that incident. Anything I left out?
Wow. That's a lot. That is a lot. And I mean, I can't believe that even with the letters the first incident 2 years prior, and then even with the letters that you sent to the administrators and counselors just 2 or 3 weeks prior to the incident that people have seen on the news, that nothing was done. And so that's why I'm trying to figure out, like, I mean, I know there are many, possible solutions, like, well, not solutions, but I'm just wondering, like, you know, what about the parents? What about the procedures? Like, what is the teacher supposed to do in that situation where they reach out, they inform administrators of what's happening and no one does anything? I've been in that situation, so I'm well aware, and it's like the teacher is left to fend for him or herself, and I just don't know what the teacher is supposed to do. I really don't.
Well, I think what we need to do basically is, number one, get the parents involved with the problem students. You know, it's about 93% to 95% of the students, they're no problems. It's the rest of the 5% of the students that messes it up for everybody. Okay, like I said, that class that I had the incident in basically is a good class without the other students. They worked. They did what they were supposed to do. It's just that one few students that just messed it up for everybody. Now, during that time, when I had that incident, we were taking a test. It was a test day. So in this one student, because of these other students that whispered in his ear, you know, and that's not giving him an excuse to do that. No student should come up to a grown man and challenge him like he did. You know, no student
right.
should be doing anything like that. And so you wonder, where are the parents? Where are the parents teaching these students? And then, bottom line, if the parents are not doing anything, that's when the school district steps in. Now, let me tell you the story that when I first started working with LAUSD, my first job with LAUSD was Jefferson High School. when they asked me to go work there, of course, they wanted me to come take over the band department. And they told me that, you know, the band department is just in shambles, and we want you to start a new program. I said, okay, no problem. That's good. Anyway, so when I went in to talk with the principal, her name was Miss Preciado. She's not alive anymore. But when I went in to talk to her and tell her how I was going to work the program, during our session, they brought a student in. And this student was causing havoc with one of the teachers. It wasn't the first time, it's constant havoc. So the principal got so upset with this student, and she told him, "So you mess up one more time with one of my teachers, I'm going to ship you so far away from this school, your nose is going to bleed." and she was upset. So when I heard her say that, see, I said, now that's the principal. That principal knows what she's. She's not afraid of the students, and she was backing her teachers, and she was handling the situation. I don't believe that student ever had any problems again. But you know that she could do that at that time. See, now the districts, they're so scared of the students that they won't do anything. They're so busy trying to get the money that they bring in. They don't care whether they are causing the students not to learn or not. They just want the money. And basically all the districts have to do is tell them, don't you touch my teachers. You better not touch me. This is what's going to happen. And that will cut off half of the problem right there, but they don't even do that.
Mm-hmm.
So something's wrong with the administration leadership. Especially
something
when
is definitely.
Yeah, when they're telling students that, oh, you can say anything, you can be willfully defiant, and you can say anything you want to say to the teacher, like that. And then they say if you suspend them, that don't educate them. They don't learn nothing. They don't learn nothing by hollering and screaming at the teachers either.
Mm-hmm.
So who's making these idiot decisions?
Right.
I mean, that's dumb. I mean, I hate to say that, but how can somebody say something like that? These students, they can be willfully defiant starting in elementary school and then going up to the ninth grade or eighth grade, and all of a sudden they can't do it, like they're going to stop all of a sudden. And just like that story that I told you, excuse me, they're not going to stop. That goes on to college. Then now you have our college being affected by stuff like that because they're letting these students get away with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's
sad. Wow. It is very sad. And I want to touch on this point again after the commercial break. So if there are any guests calling in, we will speak to you after the commercial break. We're going to take a break and return live on Tribe Family's channel with Teacher Talks right after this.
Hi, my name is Stacey Matclam. I am the author of School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching. I wrote this book last summer after I resigned from the teaching profession. Writing the book was therapeutic for me. In the book, I discuss why I left the teaching profession. I also discuss trauma and mental health concerns that many students, especially very young students, endure. Finally, I discuss teacher trauma, also known as secondary traumatic stress. This book is not just for educators. It's for anyone who has walked away from something that was not serving them. I am realizing now that my path in education is outside of the classroom. Check out my book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, on Amazon in digital and paperback format, or go to my website at www.stacymatclam.com. Again, that's www.stacymcclam.com. You can find me on all social media platforms at Stacey Matclam. Thank you.
Caller, area code 310. Caller, area code 310. Your line is open. Caller, area code 310, your line is open. Did you have a question or a comment on Teacher Talks?
Hello.
Oh, okay, moving. Oh, wait, hold on.
And,
area code.
I'm 310.
Go ahead.
Hi, yes.
Hi, Stacey. This is Miss Edmond. I'm just listening in.
Hey, Miss Edmond.
I called in because Mr. Marston and I go to Zoe Christian Fellowship, and when I saw it on your page, I said I should just listen in.
Oh.
So
thank
I'm just
you.
Listening, supporting you guys.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We know you know the struggle.
definitely.
Awesome. Well, before the break, Mr. Riley, you spoke about the funding
issue. One moment.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Caller area code 562. Caller area code 562. Your line is open. Did you have a question or a comment? Area code 562, your line is open. Did you have a question or a comment? All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to Teacher Talks. Our program will resume.
Really, before the commercial break, you stated that you think it's a funding issue now that administrators and school districts only care about the students, whereas before principals were in a position where they could, I guess, be as more assertive with the students and discipline students and not coddle the students as much, I guess you would say. So
yeah.
Explain the funding issue. I don't understand. How does funding play a role in this?
Well, each time a student comes to class or comes to school, the district gets a certain amount of money for that student. When they're absent.
Oh, that's what you got it. Okay.
Yeah. They don't get the money when they're absent. So they want them there all the time so they can get that money no matter what they do.
Got it. And so what Mr. Riley is describing is the willful defiance suspensions. And so last December, EdSource.org published an article that said in 2013, the Los Angeles Board of Education banned willful defiance suspensions. And so in the last 6 years since the ban, there has been a 75% decrease in suspensions. Now, while that's true, that's only one side of the story. The other story is what's happening in the classroom. So if those students aren't suspended, then what are they getting to restorative justice services in the schools? Oftentimes, that's not the case because there's not enough counselors to make that happen. And so I guess I'm trying to figure out, I know when willful defiance suspensions were implemented supposedly because a lot of black and brown students were disproportionately suspended. And so they thought that to, in theory, reduce the school-to-prison pipeline, that they would implement these. So I guess I'm trying to figure out how to reconcile the two. If there is no willful defiance suspensions, then how do we address these students? How can they learn from their mistakes?
Well, basically, the students that are doing really assaulting teachers, they're doing this all the time. They're constantly in trouble. And it's not just the black students or whatever. These students are constantly in trouble. The students that assaulted me, they were constantly in trouble. Never went to class, caused trouble throughout the classrooms, throughout the school, went from class to class. One of the students that jumped me, he used to go into each class and pull out a student and beat him up. Beat students when the teacher would say something. They would curse the teacher out. This is what some of the teachers were telling me at the school that I was in. And I was saying, well, if he's doing all that, how is he still in school? So it's the students that are doing this consistently causing problems in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't dismiss them. The student that that first time when I got jumped by those three students, one of the students was expelled from the school, period, in the district. And that was the main person that started it all. Okay, but it took him jumping on a teacher for them to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, he was just beating up students and cursing out teachers, causing
mm-hmm.
problems. But he felt that I'm cursing out teachers, I'm beating up students, I'm getting away with it. So maybe let me jump a teacher this time. See, it gets worse. And that's what
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what you're talking about in regards to, they didn't want to suspend students for willful defiance because of, they felt too many black and brown students were being suspended and all of that. But I think they went too far in regards to being too extreme. You don't have to cut off everything to make a point. For example, If a black or brown student is being suspended for something that a white student does and he doesn't get suspended, then that needs to be addressed with that particular school or school district. And that needs to be taken care of, as opposed to saying nobody can be suspended. There should be some type of progressive discipline that, no, the first time they do something, they're not automatically suspended. But for the people that do it over and over and over again, and there's no consequences, they're not changing their behavior, something needs to be done. And yeah, maybe there needs to be some other type of a solution. I don't know what it is, but whatever they're doing now is not working, because if a kid gets away with it in elementary school, okay, then they go to middle school and they get away with it, okay, then why would they change when they get to high school? So there needs to be some type of progressive discipline for people, for the kids that do the same things over and over and over again. That's why they feel like they can hit their teacher. That's why they feel like they can cuss out their teacher. They set up their teachers. The teachers end up being suspended. The teachers end up getting fired. There's consequences for teachers, but it seems like there's no consequences for the students. And then the parents, a lot of times they just back their child. Whether their child is right or wrong or whatever, they just back the child. And that's why we have these problems that we have today. And I know, you know, society has changed. We're older, so we remember when schools, you know, the principal used to be able to paddle kids, okay? But that happened very rarely that occurred. It was just the thought and the fear that you knew if you went to the principal's office, something's going to happen to you. So you straightened up. Okay, but now the kids don't fear anything because there's no consequences. Nothing happens to them. So why would they stop their behavior? Their parents not correcting them, administration's not correcting them. So then the teacher, they're the ones, you know, taking all of this abuse. It's disrupting the class. That's why you see our test scores are terrible. You know, something needs to be done, and I don't know how we're going to get to a solution, but I think that, you know, it just needs to be brought to light as to what's going on in these classrooms, because I think people aren't really fully aware how it's disrupting other students and disrupting the learning, and, you know, kids aren't getting the proper education. How are they going to be prepared for adulthood? And even correcting their behavior is preparing them for adulthood. If you let them get away with all this stuff, what do you think they're going to do when they become adults? So, yeah, we need some type of a solution, and we can't be too extreme just saying, oh, I'm going to cut off all suspensions. Some kids might need to be suspended because they're doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. So, anyway, that's my little 2 cents.
Yeah, no, excellent points. Thank you for sharing. And definitely, I think it has gone too far. It is too extreme because even if there's not consequences, then that's what I'm saying. You have to have some kind of replacement. And if it's going to be restorative justice practices, then do that. But that's not what happens. We don't have a team of people to work with these students, you know, so if they're just brought back to the teachers. And I know in elementary school, when you send a student out, they're back in a minute, and I'm like, you're back again, like nothing happened, and you know, the kid is cheesing, and it's like jokes on me, and I'm like, okay. So I think it goes back to respecting the teachers, administrators respecting and serving the teachers as leaders, and helping them, like the example that Mr. Riley gave of his principal at Jefferson High School, like And it's not that the principal has to be on the teacher's side, but it's like you want your employees to to make the environment most effective for learning. So whatever
That's
needs
right.
to be done, yeah. Wow.
And you know, while I was doing my trial era for that year that I was going to court, basically my our plan was we were going to sue LAUSD for providing a hostile environment. If we were going to sue them, that was our next step. But the reason why we did not sue them is because our statute of limitations ran out. In other words, our lawyer, because my court went so long, it went past the 6 months that I can file a report. And then our lawyer told us not to do it while we're in court because that might make our case even harder to win. So basically, what the school districts are doing is they're provide because they're letting these students do all this stuff to the teachers, they're providing a hostile environment for the teachers. It's hostile.
Right.
These and another thing is if the teacher did anything close to what happened to me or what's been happening to the other students, if we even looked at them hard, we're fired. We're put on probation. I mean, so that's another thing that the schools are talking about. We don't stand for with zero tolerance for bullying. So they don't want the students to bully each other, but it's okay for them to curse out the teachers and hit them and do all this other stuff. So one of my solutions basically is, okay, number one, it starts at the top. If the district would educate these students and tell them, okay, you cannot scream and holler at the teachers. You cannot be willfully defiant. You're going to suffer consequences for that. That's all they have to say as a start. And you cut off at least half the problems that are teachers. But what they're doing right now is telling the students, oh, you can say anything you want to do. You can do whatever you want to do to the teachers. And they can't do anything. They better not do anything. That's what they're telling these students. It's like giving them a gun, giving a kid a loaded gun. They don't understand what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be guided. You don't tell them you can do anything you want to do. That's like telling a kid, okay, this kid is 5 years old. And he says, well, I don't want to eat breakfast anymore. I just want to eat candy all my life. Okay, go and do what you want to do. So this is what they're telling the kids. You can do whatever you want to do to the teachers. They can't handle that. So they need to tell them, no, you cannot. No, even though this is the law, you cannot holler, scream, curse out our teachers. You cannot do that. Okay, this is what needs to be told to them. But they're not even doing that. So thus you have a student, okay, well, if I can curse out the teachers, I can hit them too. I can do whatever I want to them. That's what they're receiving when they tell them that. After I had my incident, while I was still in the classroom, fresh, after everything was over, one student was telling me, you're not supposed to hit a student no matter what. This is what one of the students kept saying to me. And I was so upset, you know, I didn't say anything back to her. But, I mean, that's their conception of what they've been told. You're not supposed to hit a student no matter what.
And they need to be told the same thing. You're not supposed to hit a teacher no matter what.
Right.
You're not supposed to cuss off the teacher no matter what, you know. So, yeah.
So those are problems. But it starts with the district. Our district needs to educate these kids right. And tell them they're supposed to. Basketball, this will be my last example. Basketball. You know, for a while, the star players and all these players, they were beginning to holler at the referees because they weren't getting all the calls, and it was getting worse and worse until finally the referees start teching them and start fining them. Then they stopped. But if the referees wouldn't have started letting them, okay, you're going to suffer for what you're doing, hollering and screaming at the referees. If they wouldn't have did that, it would have been rampant by now. But because there are consequences, it's at a minimum. Same thing has to happen to the students. Has to be consequences.
So it sounds like an accountability issue, and it sounds like when we let students run amok, that's actually setting them up for the school-to-prison pipeline. Even
exactly.
More if you're not,
like
teaching kids the right way to behave. So do you think teachers should take more of an active role? Because the district already has the law, so that's not likely that you're going to get changed there. So would it be up to the teachers
to
advocate?
Well, first of all, it starts at home. You know, the teachers can try to educate them and tell them, but the district has to do that. They're the one that puts in the law. They're the one that's running it. The district has to lay down the law. It's the district. I've seen principals come into a school, and I've worked for principals, come into a school and turn it upside down to it's one of the best schools there around. It's the administration. So if that person could come and turn that school around, the district, it all starts from the top and it trickles down. If they don't do it, then it's going to be very hard. But the district has to lay down the law. The district has to say, okay, enough is enough. We're not going to deal with this anymore. You're not going to do this again. This is what's going to happen to you. And, you know, the thing is, it's not every student. It's only a select few out of thousands of students. It's only a couple.
Right.
And what those couple of students is doing is ruining it for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Hello,
Go ahead, sir.
I'm the producer of the show, and I just wanted to come in from a parental perspective.
Okay.
No, but I didn't want to cut you off. I want you to finish your thought.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just saying that it's the district can change all that. But again, they have to lay down the rules. They have to educate their students as to how far they can go and what they can do. Don't just say, oh, you can say anything to your teacher and just leave and walk away. They don't understand that. Telling an elementary school you can say anything to a teacher and they can't do anything means they can say anything to them, which means they can hit them, they can do whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the school district to say, this is what we meant. This is what so let's not take it this far. And if they're talking about the anti-bullying rules, that goes for everybody, not just for your fellow student. That goes for everybody.
Well, I want to come in. I'm Beverly Black. Excuse me. I had to go to the dentist today, and I'm still a little numb on the side. But I want to salute you all, Stacey McClam, for your show and your platform, and Mr. and Mrs. Riley for your strength through the journey that you've been through. I watched the video, and I've listened to the show, and from a parental perspective, I have 4 grown adults that I've raised through the school system, and I've taken them in and out of school for reasons that had to do with the district, the teachers, the students. I'm a very hands-on parent, and I think that there's like a missing link in the entire system when you look at it from the district, from the educators, from the students, and from the parents. And I'm glad that my children are not in school in these times. I spent a lot of time at their school. No, I'm serious. I spent a lot of time at my kids' schools, and in their elementary stage, the teachers, they welcome the help. And when you're hands-on and when you're cognizant of just how full the teacher's hands are as a parent, and you see all of these bright students and all of the potential that they have, and your child is there too, you want to be hands-on. You want to help so that teacher's room is a success. That's why that theme song at the beginning of the show, Stacey, I salute you, that is my jam. And so it really is, you know, because that teacher is getting ready, you know, and he's ready for his students. He's going to make stars out of them. You know, they're going to be walking in their own, you know, lanes. And so as a parent, though, your child should leave home ready to learn, not arriving at school, bringing all whatever's going on in life and society to class, okay? And that's one of the things that I see in this whole scenario, is that there's no addressing the mental ills and woes that students and parents and educators have to take on, and the district wants those hind ends in the seats. It is about money. So if you're someone on this line that is within the district, I'm not here to bash you or hurt your feelings, and I'm not here to be fooled into thinking that it's not about the money either. You're welcome to chime in. But there was a time when, especially for black and brown folk, we couldn't even go to school. Okay.
Right.
We don't even want to go there. Now you better be at school. And I've had to deal with schools that weren't performing up to par. And I have a literacy program, and I'm not sending my child to the school to fall through the cracks. And I feel that some of the other parents, if they were raising their voices about the behaviors at the school, then the school would have to listen. You know,
right.
So the parents really have to be more hands on and visit the schools, support the teachers. Now, I have one question for you, Mr. Riley. Okay, no, wait, let me back up. The scenario on the video and what you've explained here, the school let you down. When security came, security should not have ever left. So how did the students circle back around? Okay, security arrives, the students are gone. Okay, well, security, hold tight. All right, because we don't know where the students are. So you can stay right here and radio back to the office or radio around the school. But find them. Don't just leave, okay, because you don't know. And just what happened? They came back. Okay. Now, Mr. Riley, I have one question for you in hindsight, and I'm not picking on you. But I do have a question, and I don't know how you're going to take it, okay?
Okay.
So I'm prefacing it. But when you went back over to the, when you went to the desk to get your phone, in hindsight, would keeping that distance between you and that student have helped? Because I noticed that you retrieved your phone, but you walked back over to the student. And I was just thinking that in that moment, what the outcome could have been if the distance between you and the student had been maintained. And that's the only thing that I'm going to ask. And I'm going to turn the show back over to the host. And I want to thank you all for your time, your strength, and your dedication to the future of the children of our world. And God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Do you want to answer that?
Am I supposed to answer that, or do we have time?
Yes, please. Yes, yes.
Okay. So what happened was, the more I talked with the student, he kept approaching me and approaching me. When I went to get my phone, my desk is like in a catacorner, and there's a closed part. So if my thinking was that he was going to follow me, if he followed me inside my little square desk where there's an enclosure, there might be an altercation. So I got out in the open. I retrieved my phone and came out in the open and came back to him. That's why I didn't stay away from him.
And another thing, Marty has shared with me, because I know, you know, I was reading the different comments people said, and that was one of the things that people had brought up, you know, why didn't he just stay over there, just like you just asked. And his whole thing with, because he had got jumped before, and the students that came, those three students that came back in with the guy, he's thinking they're all going to jump him. And so he was saying that if he would have stayed in that little corner, that he's thinking they're going to get him and I'll jump him in the corner. He's not going to have a way to escape. So the whole thing he has in mind about his incident before getting jumped, thinking he's going to get jumped again. And I don't know if you guys remember at the end of when he had the fight with the student and it was broken up, one of those three students that instigated it came up behind him and hit him, you know. So, yeah, his whole thing was thinking they're all getting ready to jump in at some point in time.
And at that point, the security guard came in.
Yes, at the end, the security guard came in.
And I just wanted to say thank you so very much for your response. And again, God bless you. God bless all of you. And thank you for, you know, what you do to raise America's children. Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you, Beverly. Good question. I did want to respond to one thing Beverly mentioned about parents advocating. I have been at schools where parents have advocated and they're ignored. So I think sometimes it depends on, like, the demographic of the parent and whether administrators deem them important, really, because or like valuable enough to listen to, like to hold these children accountable. Because, like I said, I've seen parents advocate and nothing has changed. So that has surprised me, too, that administrators still do not bend to some parents. That's frustrating, and it's a very complicated issue, but definitely something needs to be done. And I'm just curious, as we close out, what do you think that the facts and circumstances of the case is what ultimately led to the case being dismissed, that the jurors understood the details of this case, the context?
Well, it never went to a jury. It was time for the jury trial, and our lawyer was actually going to ask for a little bit more time because he was waiting for some documents from the school. And so when we went that day, he was going to ask for it to be delayed. And that's when the VA met with him and ended up saying they were going to dismiss it. And when the DA got before the judge, he said the reasons why it was dismissed. One was the circumstances, which was, the whole incident and that kid, he had a history. He came from another state, but he had a history in the other state of doing that to teachers. Also, Marty's age. Marty hadn't, had any criminal history or anything like that. And they had him to go to an anger management class, which he did. And so for all of that, they said they were going to go ahead and dismiss the charges. But we know the reason why it was really dismissed was the Lord all the way, had Marty's back and had the charges dismissed. That's what we were all praying for. And it was so many people praying on Marty's behalf. So we know it was the Lord that intervened in all of that.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing the story. I think it speaks a lot to, as you said, Ms. Riley, about it's a new generation we're dealing with. And not to make that as an excuse, but that means we have to address issues differently. And the kids are telling us actually that there's a problem. You know, if the kids are acting like this, it's something that adults need to work with because something's wrong. And so that's why I advocate for counseling and mental health and trauma, because students need it and teachers need it too, because students bring it to the classroom. And so administrators and the district need to listen to teachers and help teachers, especially if they want them to stay.
That's right.
I've had some friends that were going to go into teaching, but after they saw my incident, they said, no, I'm not going to teach. I don't want to teach in that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a teacher shortage across the nation, so there's a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, thank you again so much for both of you for being on the show and telling your story. I wanted to hear the full context of the situation, so I think we got a better idea. And I just want people to know that you said you produce music, and is there a way people could get in contact with you on social media or the name of your group or website or how people can find out about your performances?
On Facebook, we have one of my album covers on Facebook and how you can get the music and so on.
You got to tell them how.
Okay.
What's the name of that Facebook page?
Yeah.
But what is that? How you want to put
okay,
it
up. So his regular Facebook page is Marston Riley, and then the one with the music is just called Marty, M-A-R-T-Y.
It's Christian jazz music, basically. That's what it is.
Okay, and I saw it's available on iTunes and Amazon, correct?
Right, yes.
Is that okay?
And the name
of the album
is called Pressing Toward the Mark by Marty.
Pressing Toward the Mark?
Yes.
Okay.
By Marty.
Oh. Okay. Awesome. Well, that's our program for today. Be sure to listen in to the next episode of Teacher Talk Season 3 on Tribe Family Channel with me, Stacey McClam, in 2 weeks on February 10th. You can find me on all social media platforms at Stacey McClam, StacieMcClam. And that is our show. Thank you again, Mr. Riley and Ms. Riley.
No, thank you.
Okay. You have a good
thank
week.
Thank you.
And-
you too. Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Stacey McClam. I am the author of School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching. I wrote this book last summer after I resigned from the teaching profession. Writing the book was therapeutic for me. In the book, I discuss why I left the teaching profession. I also discuss trauma and mental health concerns that many students, especially very young students, endure. Finally, I discuss teacher trauma, also known as secondary traumatic stress. This book is not just for educators. It's for anyone who has walked away from something that was not serving them. I am realizing now that my path in education is outside of the classroom. Check out my book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, on Amazon in digital and paperback format, or go to my website at www.stacymcclam.com. Again, that's www.stacymcclam.com. You can find me on all social media platforms at Stacey McClam. Thank you.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine, this class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today, sporting backpacks and they're on their way, yo. Trying to learn the things we like, going to my class, everything's alright, oh. No one as smart as you, no one as cool as you. No, whatever grade level or type of school, my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together, I'm shaping students that'll shape forever. The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse. Singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride, gotta get there all time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine, this class is all mine, you're opening up the minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I run my class like I know I should. I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood. I thought you understood. I'm the difference in my class for the greater good. Yeah. Getting my class to spread the wind. Being at school makes me wanna sing. Oh, oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together. Teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever. I think it's time we change the weather. We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future, and the future's gaining speed. If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed. And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is on time, gotta open up their eyes. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Teacher, I'm a teacher. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses,
and we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine.
Oh,
class is online, gotta open up the mind.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher, let me see the way you shine.
Come along with me.